You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Like, I don't know anything about these letters asking for love advice. I mean, if I knew anything about love, I would be out there making it instead of sitting in here talking to you guys.
It is October 1990. Beverly Hills 90210 debuts on Fox. MTV says da to creating new shows for Russian audiences. ABC's Bob Iger suggests Stephen Botchko improves cop rock by losing the rock. Steven Seagal's Marked for Death is number one at the box office. It's curtains up for Bugs Bunny on Broadway. Close to You by Maxi Priest, the most absorbing clergy on the market, reaches number one on Billboard. And George Michael releases the video for Freedom 90. But you don't care too much about all that because you're still scheming to create an alternate poetry club with fellow elections loser Steve Crimmins. You created a poem to get people excited. Hark, hear my heart's plea, a new club for thee and thee. Put feelings to words on the page with less turds to create rage, especially that cunt, Sharon Mazursky.
Oh my
well,
God.
It's the first draft. Anyways, it's time to
listen to Sassy.
Wow. Wow, right. Dave.
I'm just reading it.
Oh, I know. I'm just, it's still.
Just got some stuff bottled up here. I guess you really didn't want to lose that VP elections.
I remember a time when you were too timid to say that word. And Now I think hacks is part of the reason and just exposure, but that you've really opened your heart to the word cunt. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to hear. It already came up in the intro, but the premiere of Beverly Hills 90210, a big moment in my pop culture life. It really filled the gap that I think the by then waning Degrassi High left. What an important show in my life, in my career. Probably never would have met my other podcast partner, Sarah D. Bunting, if not for a message board that was created in that show's honor, and many other things stemmed from that, including meeting Pam and being her boss for a while.
Yeah. It's my career too without 90210.
Yep. And yet, Pam has never seen the show.
Not a single episode, not a second of it. I have seen a couple of scenes from the OC. Uh-huh. Is that even related?
No.
That's so much I don't know that it's some kind of spinoff.
Yes.
They were geographical neighbors, but no,
sure.
Not, yeah.
No. It was the heir to 90210, I would say. And by the time 90210 aired, like, no one cared anymore. It was 2000. Like, they were all so old. OC, I think, was 2003. So they were doing a lot of the stuff out of the same playbook. But Dave, thoughts on 90210?
No.
All right. Well, let's get into this issue.
All right.
What Now? We open What Now with a concert review from guest writer Bobby Seams, who is Mary Kay's beloved, as he has described her boyfriend. He and Neil had the honor of chaperoning Ian, the 22-year-old sassiest boy in America who could have bought his own beer at the show, to this momentous evening at the Ritz. I know I kind of already shat on Ian, the sassiest boy in America, in the last episode, and I don't need to do it more, but they're not the revolution, Ian commented. I'm so tired of this guy. Like, I know this is his first and last issue, I believe, but still, he's just so much all the time. And anyway, that's his ruling on Mindfunk, the opener.
This is how we felt about the sassiest girl in America, too. We're just like,
oh, yeah, that's true.
She's so very. Mm-hmm. She's so extra.
Yes. I forget her name, even. It was that long Italian name.
Giovannania.
Yes. Yes. Gina Marie Di Giovanni. Thank you. We got there. But I also was shocked when they get to the opener, which is Faith No More, who they liked a lot more. They make a point of saying Mike Patton, the lead singer, has no tattoos. And I was shocked. I don't know how it's possible to be the front man of a band, even all the way back then, and not have even one tattoo. That's crazy. He must have really been scared of pain.
I bet he did. That's all I'm saying. Like, I bet it's one of those, like, crotch tattoos.
Just, oh, I see.
Like a cheeky tattoo that word tattoo on his butt or something. Like, it's in that flea adjacent goofball tattoo world, is my guess.
Do you think a flea was adjacent to that tattoo in his crotch that you're alleging he probably had?
I just mean, is MikePattonTattooed.com should just be a place that we could go to. IzzyTattooed.com. I would totally. That's a database someone should be keeping. Mm-hmm. In this article, they're saying that the audience contained every kind of rock fan, all of us mesmerized, yet bouncing off the walls, especially during their second encore, a floor-wiping version of New Kids, You Got the Right Stuff. You know, on the song We Care a Lot, they sampled the right stuff, and they used to launch into it and riff on it during live shows. I found a clip, if anybody cares. And boy, that official video for We Care a Lot, I was like, oh boy, this is bringing back memories, like a whole song about fake rock star activism. And it just made me remember that I really enjoyed Faith No More. Did you ever listen to Faith No More?
Not really. I knew that song. No comment from Dave, so I assume he didn't either.
Lubricated Goat's album Psychedelicatessen came out September 21st. Hi, Calvin, it says. Just an inside statement here. Lubricated Goat.
That's what I got tattooed on my crotch.
There you go. That's your Mike Patton. Oh, my notes say something weird because I did it so long ago that I don't recognize this typo. It's Australian noise rock fans. It says Australian noise rock fans. And I was like, what the fuck is that? What was I doing? Sometimes I get up very early to do the notes. But Australian noise rock fans, there's a new doc about the lead singer Stu Spasm's life called I Should Have Been Dead Years Ago. So the lead singer here of Lubricated Goat is of some renown if you're Australian or into that kind of noise rock. They have another little piece here about Iggy Pop's Brick by Brick. And I'm I'm only just doing this to say, calling him a little Slim Jim, a wiggly Slim Jim, as you did when you were talking about Iggy Pop on the episode I wasn't here. I just wanted to say, I enjoyed that so much. He's such a Slim Jim, just a walking around jerky. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But I love him so. And you played a clip from Candy, and that song is the best. It's just a great song. Kate Pearson at her finest. You can hear her, like, why she's a national treasure in that song. What a good duet. That's really it.
But to prove our point, he looks like he's probably 49 to 52 in this photo here.
Oh, yeah.
He's still with us.
Uh-huh. He's about 37 in this picture.
Wow.
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It's a rough 37. Well, now I have to look it up because I'm curious.
Yeah, I think he was born weathered.
He was around 43.
Wow.
In this photo.
That's rough 43, bud.
Tough times.
On the second page of What Now, we have a little blurb, how to avoid censorship, and it's bringing up the cause célèbre of Rituel de l'Habitual by Jane's Addiction and how it had two covers because the objectionable one, according to some, had artwork, like a 3D sculpture. It was a photograph, obviously, of a 3D sculpture for the cover of the album that had boobs and pee-pees in it. And some people thought
Gross.
That no one get to see those. The alternate cover reprints the band's name, the album title, and then the full text of the First Amendment of the Constitution, which, like,
ooh.
I know, it's so cringy now.
No, it's not.
Like, You're not wrong. I get it. Well, I'm on your side, but this is also so corny. This
I love it.
Just imagining Harry Farrell on 1990 Twitter being like, and if you hate this, make sure you go vote. Like, it's just so liberal. Ugh. Anyway,
oh, I love God it. Bless. I still have my t-shirt for this. Where this 90210 launching your life, this album in particular was a very important one in mine.
I had it. It's a good album. I have no objection to the album. It's just, you know. Also, I think I got it from Columbia House. So that was the cover I had, the corny cover.
This copy is hard to read, this black on yellow on. Uh-huh. And so I apologize that I'm like using my granny squints to find the part that I wanted to read.
It looks like one of those quiz cards from a 1970s board game where you're supposed to put the red gel over it to read. It's like yes. Kind of like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a letter included in here. It says written by Perry, which I would like to print in its entirety, but we don't have space. Here's an excerpt. Let me point out that you, parents, may have to explain subjects to your children that you perceive as wrong, but it is better to have the freedom to explain it in your own words than be silenced under a government that has the power to squash anyone who opposed their views. This letter is called To the Mosquitoes. It's very long. There's a link. I put a link to it in the show notes. I definitely ripped it off for our underground newspaper that I contributed exactly one. No, it was half Christian Slater and Pump Up the Volume, half Uncle Stevie, Stephen King,
oh God,
and half To the Mosquitoes. Wow. Oh. And then a good half, because there were four halves,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and very important. And the other half was Penn Jillette, and he made a short story in Penn. I'm a wow. nerd. Like, if you don't know.
The this Mount is the Rushmore of
yeah. The Mount Rushmore of Franken manifestos.
I have not finished. Okay. And Penn and Teller's, like, what was it called? Stupid Tricks to Do to Your Friends or something. You had to buy it at the... mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm such a nerd. At Walden Books. And it came in a bag and it had a book of a bunch of short stories and then also tricks. And one of the short stories was about Penn Jillette listening to The Clash in an elevator. I don't remember. But that also... So those were the four halves that became me. To the Mosquitoes doesn't read the same now as it did when I was 15.
Sure.
There are parts where, you know, it's like there are days I wish I was born a woman. You know, I wish I were a black man, you know, so that he can have real struggles. Like, it's one of those. It's one of those manifestos. But, you know, boy, did I love a manifesto at 15.
All right. Right here, instead of the wapow, it's going to be the.
What's that? Is that
what
is
the
beginning of Been Caught Stealing?
Those are the dogs on the Casio keyboard button. Remember the Casio keyboard came with the
That's
dog?
That's what I'm doing.
That's what he's doing.
You sound
Thanks,
like
Pam.
From Being Cut.
Sound like a Simpsons character. If you told me that's from The Simpsons.
Okay, but pick it up from context.
No.
Okay, fine.
I thought he was still Slim Jimming.
There you go.
Oh, God. Go ahead, Dave.
You're next.
21 Jump Street rises from the dead. Tara said it was going to happen. And here it is, the announcement that 21 Jump Street, zombified edition without Johnny Depp, is here to grace your screens for one more season and then disappear forever. So I just want to acknowledge that you were right. That's right. That you were right. And here we are.
Yay. The 30th sassy glossary definition is drop science, verb of rap origin, to give important information, to say something people should listen to. For example, I went to Yankee Stadium to see Nelson Mandela drop science on why it's not cool to do business with South Africa. Speaking of corny motherfuckers, not him, her, for using that example. But much as we do with One to Watch, I do have to give them credit. This was a phrase in use. I don't think it's used anymore, or at least not in the circles that I travel in. But yeah, good for them for nailing one. It's been a while.
In a few years, we would have My Science is Tight.
That's right.
Which I always remember on CSI being super cringy the first time I ever heard My Science was Tight. And I laughed out loud. It was so bad.
It was on CSI?
It was CSI. It was... I don't remember the character's name.
Which one?
The guy dies. The main guy that they actually killed off.
Oh, Oh my God, Warwick.
Warwick. Yeah, Warwick says it. Oh, come on, Warwick. Better than that.
I would have genuinely thought Science is Tight started at TWAP. That's how often we were using that shit. I can't believe we didn't make that up. Who else was saying it? I just don't remember anyone else saying it, really. It's fine. Yeah. All right. It's fine. Give me a whoopow.
No, that was it. That's what we're doing now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot. Okay. Christina's Zine Corner. As of now, we will be reviewing zines, which for those of you who don't know, okay, are photocopied magazines, but some of the world's most creative people, just so you know. That's it. Anyway, she's mentioning this month's pick is Comet Bus, a punk zine put out by this guy, Aaron, in San Francisco. This guy, Aaron Elliott Comet Bus, is still making Comet Bus. It's still in print. He is the co-owner of a used bookstore in Brooklyn. He is of some renown. And if you are interested in receiving zines, which are still being made by some of the most creative people in the world.
Some of the most Xerox machine access having people in the world.
It's true. There's a site called Zine-O-Matic, and you can sign up and receive zines every month, which I do. And it's wild. You never know what's coming in the mail.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Watch it!
Oh.
Our hit this month, 5 stars for Mo Better Blues, reviewed by Karen, who writes, among other things, as with this previous, sorry, okay. Tell where my quote was in this piece. She writes, as with his previous films, She's Gotta Have It, School Days, and Do the Right Thing, director, writer, actor Spike Lee takes his time and a great amount of care and creativity in getting his point across, which I just want to say, normally in criticism, we don't like to say a piece of art has a point to get across, and ones that do, that tends to mean that they're like bad and overdetermined and poorly done and ham-handed, so much as a story it's telling, just a note from me to Karen of the past.
You got that right, buddy.
Thank you. Next, also 5 stars, but it's not in the top spot, for Pump Up the Volume. Phew, good thing Christina liked it, because she also interviews Christian Slater, our cover boy, for this issue's cover story, which we will get to in this episode. I forgot until I read this review, even though we watched this movie in the past couple of years. It is so random. It's set in Arizona, like of all places. I don't know. Just doesn't feel like an Arizona story. I would think like, you know, Seattle, but maybe that's just because I'm used to those stories being made in Vancouver, pretending to be Seattle.
I only know from reading this, like, this like rabbit hole I went down about Pump Up the Volume, but isn't it because he's sent from somewhere cool to this place that he's feeling even more nerdy? And so Arizona just actually is the what the fuckness of it all.
I don't remember where he came from, but he is a recent transplant. His dad is a teacher or the principal or something at the school, so that's why they've moved there.
You know what I can't figure out? How you manage to get such great grades and you listen to that radio all night, you know?
Thanks, Dave. The soundtrack is one of the best there ever was, which led me to, like, so who's the music supervisor here? Kathy Nelson, who is, I guess, the best music supervisor of all time. When you click what she's done, you're like, dang, lady, you're good at it. You're good at it. But also, so I went through like a making of the Pump Up the Volume 30th anniversary thing from a few years ago. John Cusack turned down this role because he didn't want to do another teen movie after Say Anything. And
he was also starting to go bald, so there's that.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have bought him.
He was busy kickboxing his hairline at the time.
But if we'll put a link in the show notes to this making of, it's got a whole lot, including like how this script took a while to find, like, that everybody, I guess, said yes right away. And the movie was made kind of surprisingly easily, which doesn't make for like a lot of dirt when you read a making of. But it is kind of nice every once in a while to just see like this person was a weirdo, but it still worked out. This person had issues and it still worked out. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So this next movie is Metropolitan. It got 4 stars here from Kim. Metropolitan is, it's
funny. I had to go look up because I was like, is this a movie I remember like hating? So I looked up a clip of, and I was like, yes, it is really funny to picture me watching this and realizing how much I hate all things Whit Stillman. Like, there's not a more opposite aesthetic in any film he's done or any story he's touched. I hate all of it so much. I hate the people, I hate the characters, I hate the way they sit on couches or perch near couches, the way they just like talk about nothing. Oh my God, so fucking boring. Last Days of Disco, all of, oh God, I guess I'm not. This is what I think, this is why I know I can't move to New York. This is what I feel is like a lot. Just tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Oh, it's so weird.
Everyone who lives there isn't like that. I mean, Metropolitan, I think, it's his first movie. I agree. It's the most alienating, especially for anyone who didn't grow up in exactly that Upper East Side kind of environment. I do think his movies got better after that. I like Barcelona. I really liked Last Days of Disco. That's probably the one I've watched the most. But he also was, at least in the 20-teens, an under-the-radar Republican who I never knew when I was enjoying any of his movies. He had edited The American Spectator before he made Metropolitan. So that might be what you're responding to, some deep down, you know, red state energy.
Shitty vibes.
From the New Yorkiest New Yorker that ever New Yorked.
But that's what it feels like. That is what it feels like. Just judgy. Like, we won't talk about everyone else that we think is not good enough to exist. So we'll talk about nothing. Ugh. Anyway.
Mary Kay comes in with a 2-star review of The Freshman, which is probably deserved. It just occurs to me that The Freshman was highly, highly praised according to her, but she hated it. And it's not a great movie, but it feels like it's basically the Menu of its time. Because it sort of got some similarities with that. They're not killing and eating people, but the whole twist at the end is these exotic animal smugglers are creating the world's most endangered night of dining from animals that are about to go extinct. Like, if they could serve you dodo, they would. Not Broderick's greatest role.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I saw it once. Not great. Wait, hang on.
Here we go. Coming in hard with a 5-star review. New Kids on the Block, Step by Step, reviewed by Psych April, who writes in her handwriting, "I think New Kids on the Block are good. My friends and me think that New Kids are very nice. Even though my Aunt Christina don't like them, I do. I think New Kids on the Block's new tape is good, even though I don't have it yet, April. Age 8.
Aww. That is such a sick burn.
I love it.
It's really good.
Aunt Christina, let April put the review in here. And even if someone else wrote this handwriting, because this is very nice handwriting for an 8-year-old.
No, I think that's real.
You think it's real?
It's really hard to simulate that as an adult.
Yeah. It's like when you see a prop, like, look at this disturbing drawing our kid did, and you look at it, and it's like, this is just an adult drawing with their left hand.
Is that a calligraphy pen? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I love it. I think it's a great review. I hope April did not feel mocked and is like, I used to be a reporter for Sassy Magazine.
Should be on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before the end there, that commercial was totally a European commercial that, you know, is produced in 17 different languages about somebody at a bar ordering weird cigarettes.
Oh, I was thinking Amstel Light.
Yeah, I have my Nespresso. But it's good also.
Yep. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Another perfect example.
Well, that's Moni Love with It's a Shame from her album Down to Earth, which gets 5 stars here from Kim. And yeah, I feel like, I think I should have listened more to Moni Love, and like, I like that song. It's a Shame. Moni in the Middle is a song about passing notes in class while trying to get with the boy that isn't the boy who's trying to get with her. Like, that's a song written for little Pam. And she's just giving out great girl power advice in this, It's a Shame. And she's 50. She's a DJ. She's still killing it. You can see her on Instagram. And I feel like I missed out not getting this album when it was reviewed back in the time.
I'm not sure how she was 20 in 1990 if she's 50 now, because I'm about to be 50 and I was not 20. Ian's not the only one lying about their age in this issue.
Which one is it, Moni love? Better get your story straight. I had to listen to Sassy Get My Spaghetti video. That's the button on the Casio.
Now that you hear it,
excuse me,
you owe someone an apology, I think.
It's 100% the button on the Casio. It's not even hard. You can play that one at home on your sister's Casio. It's the closest I ever got to being in Jane's Addiction. Oh my gosh. This album, 5 stars from Jill and 0.0 stars from my parents, who definitely were tired of that song. Really hated it.
Yep.
Jill says this song, this album's great. There's a lot of energy and power. The B-side also is wonderful with 3 days and No One's Leaving. Fun fact, when I first wrote My Year of Dicks, because it was for TV, I wanted it to have, did I tell this story already? You can stop me if I have. I wanted it to have this little intro, and I wrote it for Perry Farrell. It was, see if I still remember. She was just about 17 now. something, try to lose her virginity. And then it went, no, at Pamela's Year of Dicks. I thought, surely I can get him to do that one. It was. And they made me cut the opening credits. I guess it worked out fine for little Pam, but sad for Perry Farrell, who I once saw on an airplane and made very uncomfortable. Anyway, senoras and senores, Jane's Addiction is on tour. Get your tickets. You can live all of 1990. And this issue in particular, this year, 2024, is here for October of 1990. I remember when I first
okay, that guy's taking the first cigarettes and beer on offer.
Yeah. The only reason I included this, which is the Berlin Wall of Sound by the Chesterfield Kings.
Pam, do you know what a Chesterfield is?
You mean, is it a cigarette? Or do you mean, is it an
armoire? Answer the question, Pam.
Is it an armoire?
No.
Is it where you hang a coat?
Yeah.
Nope.
It's not a cigarette?
It is a cigarette, which is probably what they're referencing. Yeah.
Is it a place where fancy people live?
You know
where
the Davenport is?
Also, maybe that's a place where you park a car.
That's a carport.
That's where you park your Daven.
What's a carriage house?
A carriage house where you park your horse and your carriage.
Damn it.
Sir, your Daven is blocking our way. We have business to do.
You were closest with cupboard.
Cupboard? Yeah, a Davenport is it where you keep your shiffer ropes?
Davenport and Chesterfield are types of sofas.
Yeah.
Sofas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You mean a couch?
I mean, in Canada, I didn't hear the word sofa for years because it was always the Chesterfield. Mm-hmm. That might be a British tail end phenomenon. Yeah.
So the Chesterfield Kings are like couch potatoes.
They probably, as I said, I'm sure they are referencing the cigarettes, but this has also been Canada Corner. Surprise. Yeah. The only reason that I included this band, who I'm sure I read this review at the time and then promptly forgot about them, is that Mike in his review mentions most intense among the songs on this album are their tribute to serial killing, Richard Speck, which I couldn't look up the lyrics to this, but I'm pretty sure it probably was not a tribute to serial killing. Go grab out that thesaurus, come up with a different word.
Oh, nobody's doing this one. We're going to skip this one.
No.
No, I was like, is this the Balthazar Getty theme song? I'm into it.
Okay, wait.
Balthazar Getty. Is he one to watch?
Here we go. The way you whispered it made it seem like a Pond 5 preview, actually.
Balthazar
and I have to
Getty.
Say, looking at this photo of Baltazar Getty, that song kind of does fit. It's like, it does. That's the vibe of what we're looking at. Him sitting on a rock somewhere with his work boots, their big heels.
I think he is on top of a small prominence of some sort out in perhaps the Arizona desert, probably maybe closer to Calabasas, I'm going to guess.
Yes.
And he just shit his pants and he's watching it roll downhill.
No. This photo's great. It's very Leo and What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Also, it's giving Johnny Depp vibes. I'm in.
Bye bye, poopy.
All right, stop. We heard you. That's enough.
Yeah.
Dave needs attention.
He's 15. Dave just woke up from a nap. Can you tell? Maybe he didn't sleep long enough, or maybe he slept too long. This is 15-year-old Baltazar Getty. He is, in fact, Paul Baltazar Getty, after the many Pauls in his lineage. As they mentioned, he is an heir to the Getty oil fortune.
Between y'all.
What?
His name's Paul. That's between y'all.
I see. Yes. So Eugene Paul Getty II, who is the one who was controversially kidnapped in Italy in the 70s, as documented or docudramed in FX's.
Can you be uncontroversially kidnapped?
Well,
oh yeah, that was a good one. That was a pretty clean kidnap.
Nobody
good
nobody
on everybody involved.
It.
There are no losers here.
Well, the
I
reason
see,
I mean,
I can see
it was
both sides.
I'm saying it was controversial.
They've been married a long time. It worked out.
The reason it was controversial is because some people didn't think it was a real kidnapping, Dave.
As you know,
because we watched every episode of FX's Trust. Is the implication here? Yeah. Is it? Anyway, the kidnapped guy was Balti's father. They mentioned that he went to Bel Air Prep. It was later renamed Pacific Hills School. Monica Lewinsky graduated salutatorian. Jason Bateman and Khloe Kardashian both attended but did not graduate. I hope that means they graduated from somewhere else and not that they just never finished high school.
Did they have to?
Yeah. Well, true. So I always forget when I look forward from here in his filmography, he was in Brothers and Sisters for a while, and then they just had too many brothers and were like, you can go. They also say in his Wikipedia entry, he is now a member of the indie rock / electronic band Ringside. Sure he is. He married fashion designer Rosetta Millington in 2000. They are still married, having weathered his 2008 affair with Sienna Miller. They have four kids, one of whose name Cassius, unfortunately, and fortunately or not, Eric Dane is that kid's godfather. And that's everything I know about Baltazar Getty. Dave, one to watch or not?
No.
Oh, one to notch.
The one that I confused for a little while until Baltazar Getty disappeared from my memory.
Sure.
With Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
On his current Instagram page, he now goes by Balt. And of all of your names you could do from Balthazar.
Balt. Yeah.
Balt.
Yeah, that's a plant-based something.
Yes, it is.
Did you take your Balt today?
Save the earth. Try Balt. With vitamin epsilon.
Yeah, no, the test came back and I have a little Balt.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. Mm-hmm. But they're going to scrape it right out. They said it'll be fine.
Disney's and Balt starring John Travolters.
And it's 6-7. That's Balt, everybody.
I'm sorry, but the question is Balt.
I don't fucking care what the Balt you just said. You can fuck right the Balt off. Balt move. It's a real Balt move.
It's
going
a real
by
Balt
that.
Move.
Oosh.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, Go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Our first feature of two is Christian Slater Has Simple Needs. Christina wrote this. The photographer is what?
Sounds like he needs diapers or something. That's all.
So he's just a simple man.
Yeah.
He's just a guy trying to not go by Christ or Christy or Slate. Salt or Slate. He's Christian Slater. He likes all of his syllables in every word and will put more in if he needs to because he's Christian fucking Slater. The photographer here is Peggy Serrata. This picture is so great that it made me go, what's she up to? Holy crap. Go to her website. Her reel looks so much fun. She's so good at getting people to jump in the air joyously. And then she takes a photo of them. They're all famous. Everybody looks great. Peggy Serrata, do you have nothing to do? Come call me. 720 Sassy Go. Anyway, in this article, Christian is 20. He's talking about, you know, just like eating pizza and playing video games, making jokes. He just wants to be, you know, a real normal guy. Why is he getting such slack? But it's a fun article. It does feel like what you would hope hanging out with Christian Slater would be like, which is easy, a little flirty, and ultimately a little underwhelming, because she was hoping he'd be much, much more of a bad boy. But I think he was maybe even trying to be sober at this point. And so she's kind of like poking at that, right?
Well, yeah, here's where we disagree, because he at this point has like quite recently not just been arrested and charged with DUI, but like was sentenced to jail. Like it was only for 10 days, but still. Mm-hmm. So I felt like in order to get him for the cover, there was a lot of negotiation with his team where they were like, you're not going to bring this up. You can mention it glancingly, but like, don't get into details. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're going to see his mugshot on our social media this week. Like this was serious. And so I felt like this was a real kind of soft soap job. And I felt like I could sense her bristling against the restrictions that were put on her because of like the ways just references to his image sort of sneak in. Even though it's clear, like, well, he won't even jaywalk. He's a good boy now. But like, not so long ago was December 29th, 1989, when he got arrested, you know?
I see. Yeah. And he is saying here, like, it's only been like in the last 4 months and 3 weeks that I've just sort of put my feet on the ground, which does sound like someone counting sobriety. And I suppose I was reading it in the mind of a teenage girl as opposed to an expose or the frustrations of someone trying to do an article on someone and being had boundaries and restrictions put on them.
What, so, Dave smirking himself, waiting to break in. What is it, Dave?
What is it, Dave?
It wasn't. I was.
You're remembering another time that you said something awesome?
Kind of in a soothsayer sort of way, because
go ahead.
I've been drinking this Topo Chico for a little while, this mineral water, and I was feeling a burp come up, and I was thinking, if I burp on air very suddenly, it'll be a little bit funny. And then I was imagining, you know, like everybody would put me on there, they carry me out of the room, David, that was so funny, David. Because I would burp on air and everybody would love it. You asked.
You did.
I wasn't
going
to volunteer that information, but here we are.
It was playing out on your face. We had no choice.
It's true. My only other objection to this piece is that Christina describes Gleaming the Cube as feeble and ice. I don't concur. I loved Gleaming the Cube. It's so stupid and fun.
That was the skateboarding movie that turned into some sort of international espionage smuggling ring thing or something at the end, right?
I think so.
Like, wasn't there like a Southeast Asia storyline?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that wasn't it.
I I knew we were just waiting for that.
Hot, sweet, and sexy.
Bolt.
Is that it?
Nope. Oh, that. Oh, yes.
Are we
that's
talking
it
about
Christian
his
Slayer.
Turn on Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country?
What? That's from Shakespeare, you know.
Our second and final feature is Don't Mess With Her. It's about Queen Latifah. We rank on them, including earlier in this very episode, for graphic design decisions that actually make the text hard to read. And I hate to say this is the worst example yet, but it's pretty fucking bad.
It's real bad.
It's real bad. We have the actual text of the article, at least. Okay, so it's white background, black print in their usual font, but then over it is the deck of the story in like faint sort of brick red. And
it's not that faint.
So distracting. What?
I said it's not that faint.
No, it's not. You're right.
No,
it's not that faint.
It's so much worse in the actual magazine. Like in this, in your PDF, you've done a nice job to bring the font. I can't read this. I couldn't see. I was like, I need a pair of those glasses. Those 3D glasses, so that the red, and then close my red eye or my blue eye so that I can see the secret message Sassy's trying to feed me about Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think we all got as much out of it as we were able, given the physical restrictions keeping us from actually enjoying this text. But Kim asks her about feminism. She's like, I don't get into that. I'm for people. I'm not just for women. She eventually did figure out what feminism is and, you know, that she is a feminist. So that's good. This is the journey a lot of women take when they think feminist means you hate men. And that's only part of it.
It's because we're told that's what it means.
Right.
Feminists
sometimes
it's
about hating men. Let's be real.
Sometimes they just drink Topo Chico and tune us out. You should see, Dave hasn't heard, listened to a word. He's just drinking Topo Chico,
trying to generate another burp.
No, he's also thinking about them. That's why he cannot hear us. He heard the word feminism and he was like, Topo Chico, burp, burp, burp. Topo Chico, watch me burp. Topo Chico, I can burp, 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 burp. Are they done yet? I forgot to push a button. Oh, what was I going to do next? Anyway, when I was reading this article, Queen Latifah had just played the bowl with the Roots' picnic at guess who else played? Moni Love.
Because she's featured in Ladies First.
Absolutely wild that this, as I was reading this issue for this podcast in particular, I was like, they're doing something today. Look at these people today. They got a documentary. They're on Instagram. I don't know. I think it's great. I know it's because sometimes it feels like we're all aging. Mm-hmm. I can't read this article, but playing the Hollywood fucking bowl. So it's okay. These eyes work just
it's
fine.
True. And speaking of other great things that Queen Latifah did in our day, she publicly acknowledged her female partner, Ebony Williams, for the first time at the BET Awards in 2021 and the child they have together. So, oh, that's nice. Was rumored for a long, long time before she sort of came out this way that, you know, the rumor was that, or the story was that she was waiting until her mother died to actually come out, which, if true, very sad. But the good part is that, you know, she eventually did, and now she's leading a lovely life, and good for her, and Ebony, and their child.
Bedtime!
Next time, we'll be telling you about the fashion, etc. of the October 1990 issue. Dress like you're from Twin Peaks, wrap yourself in velvet, exercise, I guess, and more! For my plug this week, I went all the way back to pre-Sassy Times barely. Cobra Kai Season 6, the first part of the final season, is out, and I wrote about it at Cracked, and you can find that link in the show notes.
You can follow people on places at Tara Ariano, at Pamela Ribbon, at Listen to Sassy. More importantly, you can support us to keep this podcast going by joining the Listen to Sassy Club. It is $5 a month, gets you a whole bunch of great perks. You can go to our site, listentosassy.com/club for details. Yes!
If you call 720-SASSY-GO, that is our hotline where you can leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine or, I mean, genuinely, you want to talk about Dave's burps. This is, we're all doing it. Everyone's forced to at some point in their lives. So call 720-SASSY-GO. Let me know how you think about Dave's burps. Everyone deserves at least one opinion. That's what feminism is all about.
720-SASSY-GO, just leave a message that is your best burp. I am serious.
That would be funny.
No, we're doing it. Okay.
Oh, God. What are you unleashing?
Unleashing.
I will also give a prize out for best belch.
Oh, wow.
No.
Careful, ladies.
It's going to be a real prize. It's not going to be a stupid prize.
Yeah.
720 Sassy Go. The first annual Pam Ribbon Memorial Burpathon. I got some bad news for you, Pam.
Oh, no. Did Peter DeLuise call? Listen, just go to listentosassy.com for everything that you might not know yet. It's all there. Thank you for listening. Let me know if Mike Patton has a tattoo, and we'll see you next time.
Mike Patton, reach out.
Is he related to Dick Van Patten?
Maybe distantly.
You don't have any tattoos that guy has? It ain't nine.